Imagine this scenario. You are working in an outpatient primary care clinic and receive a phone call from Angela, who is a 45-year-old woman with a painful rash across the left side of her chest for the past 3 days. She is concerned not just because of the pain, but because the rash is starting to blister. She does not have any medical conditions and only takes a daily baby aspirin. She wonders if she needs to come into the clinic, or if she should just wait it out. What questions will you ask her to help her describe the rash to you over the phone? How do you communicate about the visual appearance of her skin lesion over the phone? And do you think it's urgent enough for her to come in for a visit? And welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Yoon Weitzholt, here to bring dermatology from our bricks to your ears. After today's episode, you'll be able to 1. Explain why physical examination of the skin is important. And 2. Describe skin lesions, including explaining and illustrating size, type, color, configuration, arrangement, and distribution and location. Part 1. Why examine the skin? Did you know that the skin of an average adult has a surface area of approximately 1.5 to 2 square meters, and it weighs in at a whopping 7 to 9 pounds? In fact, the skin is the largest organ of the human body, and it's responsible for a whole variety of functions, including temperature regulation, injury repair, and protection from radiation, as well as immunologic and barrier functions. And that's why skin exams are so important, because you want to take special care of this organ. A thorough skin exam should be performed annually to assess for new or changing skin lesions. It is critically important to be able to identify and describe normal and abnormal skin and to note your findings carefully, because a change in an existing skin lesion is the most common sign of skin cancer, including deadly ones like melanoma. In this episode, we will describe the specific ways in which you document skin lesions using a vocabulary that other clinicians will understand. Are you ready? Let's get started. Part 2. How do we describe skin lesions? So what exactly is a skin lesion? Well, a skin lesion is an area of skin that has an abnormal growth or appearance compared with the surrounding area. Skin lesions can be categorized as primary or secondary. Primary skin lesions are abnormal skin conditions present at birth or acquired over a lifetime. In contrast, secondary skin lesions are the result of manipulated or irritated primary skin lesions. For example, if you have a nevus and it's scratched until it's bleeding and scabbing, the scab would be an example of a secondary skin lesion. Now, we describe skin lesions with a specific set of vocabulary in medicine so that doctors and patients can effectively communicate with each other. Having the vocabulary to describe skin lesions will empower you to communicate clearly and accurately with other clinicians about the lesions you encounter when examining a patient. For us to start learning this special skin vocabulary, I want you to take a step back and visualize a chocolate chip cookie. Now you may be giggling, but come on, do it. Chocolate chip cookies. When you visualize a cookie, what words will you use to describe it? You would need to tell me the shape, size, color, how many delicious chocolate chips it has and where, and also, is the cookie lumpy, flat? So you see, the vocabulary you are thinking of already for describing a cookie is similar to what we'll learn for describing skin lesions. The medical language used to describe skin lesions has been standardized to include specific qualities such as size, type, color, configuration, arrangement, and distribution. These qualities give us important clues to the diagnosis, and we will discuss each of them in detail today. Generally, the first descriptor is size. We typically report both the width and height of a lesion, which should always be measured in millimeters or centimeters. How would you describe a small birthmark? You could say, there is a 7mm by 14mm patch. Although size alone cannot differentiate benign from malignant lesions, anytime a pigmented lesion is larger than 6mm, or about the diameter of a pencil eraser, it raises our suspicion for a malignant process. Going back to our cookie analogy, this is where you describe the width and length of the cookie. The next important descriptor is the type of lesion, which may require palpation of the lesion to determine whether it is depressed, raised, or flat. The best way to evaluate this descriptor is to run your hands over the skin lesion during a skin exam, and you'll feel the contours. To describe the consistency of a skin lesion, think of it as describing the lesion on a range from soft to hard. For example, a fluid-filled swelling is soft on palpation, and a bony swelling is hard on palpation. Consistency comes in handy when comparing lesions of similar types. For instance, both bullae and papules are elevated lesions, but a papule is firm on palpation, whereas a bullae is fluid-filled or balloon-like. Using just type and consistency, we can already describe and differentiate about a dozen types of skin lesion findings. Let's run through them quickly to give you an idea of how to apply these two descriptors. For instance, both macules and patches appear without elevation or depression. They're roughly flat, but macules measure less than 1 centimeter in size, while patches measure greater than 1 centimeter in size. Papules and plaques are elevated, solid lesions, but papules measure less than 1 centimeter in size, and plaques are larger than 1 centimeter. Circumscribed elevations of the skin that contain clear fluid can be vesicles or bullae. You can differentiate again on size. Vesicles are smaller, less than 0.5 centimeter in diameter, but bullae are larger and greater than 0.5 centimeters in diameter. Now, pop quiz before we move on. What term is used to describe a 0.1 centimeter circumscribed elevation of the skin containing clear fluid? The answer is, it's a vesicle. Another way we describe skin lesions is by color. Skin lesions can be a variety of colors, both lighter and darker than the patient's original skin tone. For example, an old scar may appear white, and a necrotic lesion may be dark purple or black. Lesions can be unexpected colors too. A bruise can be yellow, green, or purple. Red is a common color for skin lesions that are associated with inflammation, and these lesions are described as erythematous. But keep in mind that skin lesions may have varying appearances based on the underlying skin color. Patients with darkly pigmented skin have increased melanin content, which can make dark-colored lesions less likely to stand out. Now, let's focus on describing the configuration of skin lesions. When we talk about configuration, we mean the shape of one individual lesion. Is it round, square, or oval? An easy place to start when describing the shape is to determine whether it's symmetric or asymmetric. An annular lesion is circular with central clearing. Think of it as ring-shaped, whereas a polycystic lesion has multiple rings. A cerebral form lesion resembles the convolutions of the brain surface. That should be easy to remember if you just listen to the word cerebriform. A discoid lesion also looks as it sounds. It should be round or circular, resembling a disc. And again, our targetoid lesion resembles a bullseye. Now, the shape of a lesion does not necessarily point to a specific diagnosis, but it can certainly narrow the differential diagnosis. For instance, tinea corporis can present with annular lesions, which you'll remember they appear ring-shaped. This is similar to a targetoid lesion seen in Lyme disease, which presents with a bullseye lesion. Let's stop here to review what we just learned. What are the terms used to describe a skin lesion configuration? They are annular, cerebriform, discoid, polycyclic, and targetoid. Arrangement is another way to describe the location and pattern of skin lesions. Many lesions are solitary in nature. Some lesions appear in clusters in a specific arrangement or pattern. For example, we can describe an arrangement of lesions as linear, grouped, or reticular. The condition called livedo reticularis looks like red-blue skin discoloration, but it is arranged in a net-like distribution. A cold sore on your lip, or herpes labialis, will have vesicles grouped together. So the next time you store cookies, think of how they are arranged. Will they be lined up in a linear formation, or grouped together in a cluster inside a Ziploc bag? Let's move on to describing the distribution and location of skin lesions. Distribution broadly refers to whether the lesion is a single, discrete lesion localized to a specific part of the body or a universal or widespread lesion. Location refers to the specific anatomical location of the lesion on the patient's body. In addition to location, lesions that follow a dermatomal distribution should be described based on the dermatomal map, which is composed of areas of skin, each supplied by a unique spinal nerve root. Herpes zoster, also known as shingles, presents as a painful vesicular rash that has dermatomal distribution. And finally, we want to describe skin lesions by referring to their borders. Borders are important when describing skin lesions, especially if the lesion is pigmented. Lesions with regular borders are more likely benign, like a mole, but those with irregular borders are more likely malignant, as in melanoma. And speaking of melanoma, here's a quick way to remember the key features when evaluating a skin lesion for this malignancy. Remember the ABCDE of melanoma. A for asymmetry, B for border, C for color, D for diameter, and E for evolution. And here's one final question to see if you are paying attention. How does herpes zoster or shingles usually present in terms of distribution? Shingles will present in a dermatomal distribution. And that's all I have today on macroscopic skin lesions. Let's recap to see if we've completed our goals for this episode. First, can you explain why physical exam of the skin is important? A skin exam should be performed annually to assess for new or changing skin lesions. Second, can you list the key ways to describe a skin lesion? Skin lesions should be appropriately described using size, type, color, configuration, arrangement, and location. Being able to describe lesions allows for clear communication between patients and doctors. Next, can you describe each skin lesion descriptor we cover today? First, the size of skin lesions should be described by measuring the diameter of lesions in millimeters or centimeters. Next, describing the type of lesion may require palpation of the lesion to determine whether it is depressed, raised, or flat. Also, remember that skin lesion colors may have varying appearances based on the underlying skin color of the patient. Then we have shape. And specific terms used to describe the shape of skin lesions are annular, cerebriform, discoid, polycyclic, and targetoid. Also, remember that although many skin lesions are solitary in nature, clusters of lesions may appear in a specific arrangement or pattern. And lastly, distribution broadly refers to whether the lesion is a single discrete lesion localized to a specific part of the body, or whether it is a universal or widespread lesion. Now, armed with your newfound knowledge, let's revisit our patient from the beginning of the episode. During your office hours at an outpatient primary care clinic, you receive a phone call from Angela, who is a 45-year-old woman with a painful rash across the left side of her chest for the past 3 days. She is concerned not just because of the pain, but because the rash is starting to blister. She wonders if she needs to come into the clinic or if she should just wait it out. How would you effectively communicate with her about the visual appearance of her skin lesion to determine if she needs to come in and see you? On the phone, you ask your patient to describe her skin lesion using a set of descriptors. You start by asking her to describe the size, color, and location of her rash. How big are the spots? What shape are they? Are they flat or raised? How many are there? What color are they? How are they arranged? She tells you that the rash is located on her left chest and is distributed in a stripe across her chest. She reports that the rash is composed of mini blisters that measure less than half a centimeter in diameter each. The color of the lesions appear red, although some of the blisters have started to pop and ooze clear liquid. Based on her descriptions, you think that the lesions sound like she has herpes zoster or shingles, which is caused by the varicella zoster virus, the same virus that causes chickenpox, and causes vesicles to appear in a dermatologic distribution. It results from a reactivation of the virus and is more common in older adults or those with weakened immune systems. Just to be safe, you ask your patient to come into your office the next day, where you confirm herpes zoster. You treat her with an antiviral medication, acyclovir, and advise her to take oatmeal baths to alleviate her pain and to prevent itching. Because of the specific descriptors you used when asking your patient to describe her skin lesions, the two of you were able to efficiently and clearly communicate a visual picture of her rash, which helped pin down her diagnosis and helped determine a treatment plan. And that's our show for today. Make sure to like and subscribe. Your feedback continuously helps us to improve. You can get the full RX Bricks experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, study questions, flashcards, and active learning. Happy studying now, and until next time.